Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. My very first show back in April was titled Romancing the Home. Romancing the Home. Now, because it was my first show, it was pretty bad. Hesitations, stutters, sometimes difficulty expressing my thoughts. I won't repeat that show, but I will give you a synopsis of it. And then I'll apply it to the homes tour that I went on this past weekend. At first I thought, you know, why not be a nice guy and not say anything judgmental about these homes? Because they're built and people are living in them and love them. But this is a show for you, my listeners, and you only build a home once. Most of us only build a home once. If no one ever speaks up, if no one ever talks about the miscues and the mistakes that we make, then nobody ever wins. And this show is called Winning the Dream Home Race. On at least one level and possibly two, I don't think any of the homes that I saw this past weekend won the Dream Home Race. I'm fairly certain none of them could resell right now for the money that was spent to build them. And that's a really tough thing to do, especially with custom homes. And it's even tougher when you're talking about contemporary homes, which most of these are. But winning is building a house, building your dream home, and having it actually be worth what you spent on it or more. Winning is also having a wonderful place to live, and a supportive and nurturing place that brings a family together. And on that also, I had my doubts about the houses I saw this weekend. Romancing the home. Years ago, my wife and I were shopping for a house in Chapel Hill because that's the best school district in North Carolina. We walked into a home. It was architect designed, you know, very nice with great finishes and really good contemporary stylistic touches. After about an hour in the house, I said to my wife, this house will cause a divorce. I later found out that the house was on the market because of a divorce. and not the first one in the house. What caused this feeling? First, and this is where I realized, really understood the concept of what a house could do to a relationship. First, you could not get comfortable in the house. It didn't seem to welcome relaxation. Second, there was too much energy in the air. Too many frenetic pieces, angles, jutting objects, discordant arrangements of windows or doors. You know, if there's a whole bunch of energy, and not good energy, just frenetic energy flowing about, you can't relax, you can't get comfortable. Third, the separation of spaces in the house. It was a large, expensive house, but the kitchen was over there on the front, and it didn't invite company. It was clearly a kitchen for the cook and nobody else. The sitting area was on the far side. It's a big open room, but it was too far away for easy conversation between the sitting area and the kitchen. The kids had their own wing. You could toss the kids over there and forget about them. None of these things leads to the nurturing house that I believe we should work towards. The worst part was the master bedroom. The master bedroom in this house was nearly two stories tall, and it was stripped down. It had all stripped down finishes because it was a contemporary. But the weirdest thing was that attached to it was a greenhouse that dropped down another level. So you seem to be, your master bedroom, your bed, seemed to be on a balcony overlooking the greenhouse. And the greenhouse down below was an exercise room, which you can't relax in an exercise room. And you can't relax in a space that, in effect, you were on the balcony of a three-story space. It was hard to get comfortable enough to sleep in, much less to, you know, do the other things that bring a couple together. For years before that, I'd been designing retail spaces, and my specialty was figuring out how to design the retail store so that it encouraged customers to buy. It mentally set them on how I wanted them to walk through the store, what I wanted them to see, and how to create the impulse to buy. Same thing can happen with the house. And with that house, I realized that you can design a home that will cause a divorce. Or you can design a home that will bring a couple closer together and connect the family. As an aside, I've got another show called Preparing Your House for Teenagers. And that show is all about how to connect, how to keep connections within the family. Okay, what are the characteristics of a house that brings a family closer together? Well, the question answers itself. What are the characteristics that bring a family closer together? I've talked a lot about that, you know, all-important central living space. The combination kitchen, informal dining, and main sitting area, or great room. In today's lifestyle, especially if both parents work, or if it's a single-parent house, even more so, there is a time each day when it's possible to come together. There's very limited time. But the time that does exist is preparing the dinner, eating together, and cleaning up. In every household, this is a 2 to 3 hour time period where you can get everyone together in the same space and you can, you know, bring them together. This is, in reality, in our busy lives, this is the most time that you can spend with each other in the whole day. And, you know, it's even a good idea for the kids to sit there in that same space and do their homework. That's even better. Now, when the household... So, I really believe in the great room concept, great room kitchen concept. Now, when the household consists of just two people, empty nesters or, you know, or even one person with the hope of two people, then you want to encourage the same quality time together and wrap the, you know, quality time wrapped around the evening meal and the decompression from the day. Today, a lot of us, we have that quality time around the evening meal, that decompression time, and then one or the other gets up and goes back to work. You know, I go back to my study, my office, and start work or answer emails. So if I know I'm designing for a couple, I may, instead of the great room kitchen concept, I may suggest what I call a country kitchen. This is primarily a kitchen, an informal dining area with a small sitting area tucked in. Just enough of a sitting area for two people or four people. Maybe a love seat and a lazy boy in front of a small fireplace. The country kitchen, where the kitchen is the dominant feature, it's got this beautiful sitting area for a couple. And I've talked about it, the whole idea of a cozy home within the home. And perhaps that's the way to go when it's a couple rather than a larger family. Because we know, we can think of great room kitchens that are so big that two people get lost in it. And we're trying to encourage relationships. I think one of the interesting things is that big spaces and impressive spaces can be damaging to relationships. Now, on to the master bedroom or the master suite. The master suite should really be its own place. It should be an oasis of calm or a citadel protecting you from the big bad world. Hopefully the master bedroom is stylish, but I think it's more important that it be warm, comforting, be like a warm, comforting blanket that wraps around the two of you. Or if just one of you, then it is a warm, comforting blanket that wraps around you and keeps you calm, relaxed, allows you to prepare for the outside world. However, you always design a master suite for two people because you never know. You never know what will happen in the future of your life. And of course, on resale, you always want to design for two people. Now, well, let's go to break, and right after break, we'll come back and I'll really get into a master bedroom that improves your relationship.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay. How to create a romantic master suite. Part of this is psychology. Part of it is space design. And so, yes, I talk about a lot of things that aren't specifically designing a house. First, a romantic master suite. Keep the kids out. First, if you don't keep them out, you don't get a break from them. And second, they may be there when, you know, at least one of you doesn't want them to be. The story of, you know, intimacy in our complex lives is far easier to find excuses for not having things happen than it is to find moments when there's interest. So you want a space in your house where the kids aren't, the distractions aren't, and you've got the freedom and the liberty to have other things happen. And so make the master bedroom a kid-free retreat. Make it a dog-free retreat. The dog also kills romance, especially if it's in the bed with you. And make it a TV-free retreat. How can you relax and let go of the cares of the day if Jane Pauley is in your bedroom telling you about what just happened in Libya? So, or the latest meningitis outbreak. So, ban all of that stuff from your master bedroom. In essence, the main part of a master bedroom should be a bed chamber. Notable, a space notable for its calm, absence of stimuli, a place to sleep well, and to wake rested. A whole lot of romance is being able to sleep well and wake rested. I've been doing lately a lot of square and pyramidal shapes in master bedrooms. A square is the most restful shape there is. Close to it is a rectangle. It's a normalized space. The mind likes normalized spaces. And the pyramid power, is noted for its containment and concentration of energy. But I don't believe in all the mumbo jumbo. I do believe that we have energy, and a pyramid, by its natural shape, concentrates that energy and focuses it back on us. Very good if it's good energy. If it is interesting energy, it's interesting. It's interesting too that energy moves like sound. A pyramid reflects it, reflects the energy back into the center. And a pyramid also acts as a very strong shape to keep out unwanted outside energy. So into the feng shui, into the psychological. You know, there are further things. A ceiling that is divided by a beam diminishes the energy in the space. And in feng shui, a bed that is divided by a beam separates the couple's energy. Separates them means that there's less action. You know, further things make a calm sleep chamber. Further things, there should never be exercise equipment in a master bedroom. There should never be a desk in the master bedroom. Just think of the negative energies that these two things put off. And I've talked about, you know, master baths before. A master bath, among many other things, it should be sunny and light-filled, especially in the morning. It should be bright and cheerful. Should also allow for privacy. Absolute disclosure. An absolute knowledge of your partner's body is bad for romance. There should always be a degree of mystery. If you think about it, nothing kindles romantic flames more than rediscovering the other person. So if no secrets, if there's absolute knowledge of the other person, then there's no chance for rediscovery. In plain terms, the toilet should be in its own little room. The toilet should be off away. And the shower, too, should allow for some privacy. We've all seen the scene from Psycho where she's in the shower, the curtain is pulled back, and the guy with the knife is stabbing her. We are naturally that uncomfortable in the showers. No one is comfortable in a clear glass shower that's stuck out in the middle of the room. You feel exposed to the world. It may look good on paper. It may look good when you're showing the house. But it's designed to make you uncomfortable in real life. And on a side note, that I've just realized, you know, on this home store, is that nearly every shower had large plain dark or black tiles. And this is a terrible idea. Large black or dark tiles show every watermark and every bit of soap scum. If you really want to, you know, if you really want to be less obsessed with cleaning, then use a light color like a travertine. Travertine, you know, light tans with a bit of modeling is super for hiding a little bit of dirt and for making you more comfortable. That's just a side note. Okay. One great thing is if the toilet and the shower can be off in their own private rooms, well, then you can make the rest of the master bath into really a cozy social area for the two of you. When you think about it, aside from in the kitchen preparing the evening meal, the most time that most couples spend together is in the morning getting ready for work, getting up, getting ready for work, or that time they're both back there and you're getting ready for a party or going out somewhere. This is a great time for interaction. You can, you know, both be at the sink brushing your teeth. I don't care. But kind of in communion with each other. And one aspect of that is don't set up the sinks so that your backs are to each other. That's, in a way, a little mini rejection. So allow yourself to commune with each other at the sink. And the other thing that I really like is to make this a living space is to have a big, comfortable chair. For me, that was a place for me to sit. And as my wife was putting on her makeup and getting ready to go out, it was a place for me to sit and just spend some time with her and talk with her. And, you know, as she's putting on her makeup, as she selects her dress and, you know, and what she wants to wear. And I think women, for the most part, spend more time at this. If it can be an interactive time, that's really nice, intimate, shared time together. So set up your master bath to encourage it. And then, of course, almost all women swear by the idea of separate closets. And so, whenever possible, give him a closet and give her a closet. Hers is often twice as big as his, but that's okay. Okay. Now, you know, I'll go to break soon, but I've been dwelling kind of overly long on the concepts and practical things you can do to increase romancing the home, both to get you thinking about how you do it and what's involved with increasing romancing the home, but also, frankly, because I'm a little bit hesitant to criticize the homes that I saw this past weekend. And they opened their houses and showed off their homes. And, as I said, though, if no one says anything, then we keep making the same mistakes. So this is the homes tour for the local chapter of the American Institute of Architects. So I spoke on an earlier show about this fixation that the AIA has with contemporary houses and the false impression the AIA gives. The architects are only interested in doing contemporary homes. That's completely false. There's some architects who specialize in contemporary homes. Usually they're not the residential architects. They're commercial architects who do this on the side. The real architects who design homes as their primary business, do beautiful homes in every style, and but you wouldn't know that from the AIA and what they showed on this home tour. So when we come back, I'll dig into these homes and I'll score them based on the romantic scale that's possible in the house.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our All-Star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Conservation starts with us. Learn about environmental concerns each week when you tune in to Our Wild World with host Ellie Weiss. Our show centers on Africa each week and what's being done to save our wildlife, ecology, and ourselves. However, we'll also discuss what's going on closer to home. And most importantly, we'll let you know what can be done in our own backyards by featuring guest experts and featuring your questions and answers. Listen every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with hosts Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. You'll learn about conservation, products, and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
So on this homes tour, there were six homes selected for the tour. Five of them were designed by architects, AIA members, and one was designed by an associate member who has graduated from an architecture school, but as best I can find out, is not a licensed architect. They all but one of them, did poorly, I think, on my romance scale. And just coincidentally, the one that did the worst on the romance scale was actually the one by the non-architect. Five of the six were contemporaries. And I believe, just my observations, is that it is much harder to build romance, to improve romance in a contemporary home, especially the ones featured, you know, by the AIA. The spaces tend to be stripped down. The furnishings are stripped down. So the spaces are more plain and bare. The furnishings are more sparse and stylized rather than comfortable. And the surfaces are harder and less friendly. All of these make it harder to create a romantic space. And perhaps part of loving yourself and loving another involves allowing yourself luxuries and indulgences. If you think in painting terms, then think of a Rubenesque figure and the comfort and connection that that suggests, as opposed to Twiggy. I have to imagine that but it's interesting that perhaps part of loving yourself and being comfortable with yourself, and you can't be comfortable with another unless you're comfortable with yourself, involves allowing yourself luxuries and indulgences. Now, the non-architect designed home was one of the most designed homes in this thing, and from a group that is known for their statement buildings. It was a deliberately striking box covered in rusted steel. It's actually called Corten steel, and the rust on the outside is the protective coating that protects the steel underneath. Architects love it. A lot of people, especially resale buyers, probably aren't as thrilled with it. This house does have one combined living space, which is good. But all the surface in that combined living space, you know, the family room, eating space, and kitchen, all the surfaces were hard and cold. The stairs, the kitchen was all stainless steel. It was just hard, cold surfaces. The stair up to the bedrooms above on the second floor actually ran down and dumped you into the kitchen, which by itself I could be okay, except that as you come down the stairs, you're really looking into the kitchen and seeing all of the dirty dishes. And I like the idea of a stair coming down into this primary living space, but I don't want to see all of the dirty dishes and all of the mess on these shining stainless steel surfaces. So the house was in many ways okay, aside from the hard surfaces, until you got to the master bedroom. I've talked about the idea of the sleep chamber being a square or a rectangle, a very normalized, calming space. This room, and then the reverse of that, is that if you want to add energy into space, if you want to kind of pump up the energy level, you add angles, you introduce angles to the space. This master bedroom is a trapezoidal wedge where none of the walls were parallel with the other walls, creating acute angles. And the ceiling rose up from 10 feet right at the bed, rose up to about 20 feet at the far end of the room. With the angles, you can't relax. And the ceiling, you talked about keeping good energy in the room and focusing it on the bed. The ceiling in this room allowed all of the good feelings to flow up and away from the bed, just as smoke would tend to rise and flow away. The room is also huge. There's a king-size bed in this room, and it looks small and insignificant because the room is so large. the room, I mean, is a good size of a good size apartment in this odd shape, non-relaxing shape. The closets actually were freestanding in the room, and that gives you an idea of how big it was. They acted as a partially effective screen to right outside the door of the master bedroom was the kids' play area. The kids had two bedrooms, and in between them was a play area. Right on that play area is the door to the master bedroom. So there should be some intermediary space. There should be something that provides some privacy and buffer for the master bedroom. That wasn't there. What else? Okay. Next to the bed, there was a gigantic elliptical machine that looked bigger than the bed. And in the other corner was a drum set. This is about as much negative energy, a non-restful energy, as you can stick into space that is non-restful. There's no way to relax, no way to let go in this, you know, huge apartment-sized room. Even beyond that, there's only one window. Well, it was actually three windows, but grouped together. There's only one window in this space, a big picture window that kind of, well, a big picture window that looked out over the front drive to the house. Now, this window was covered on the outside by a perforated screen of rusted steel, this Corten steel in a perforated screen. So, in the daytime, when I was there, you could look through this screen, and it partially blocked, but didn't really block the view outside. As one person said, it's like being in a prison. You sort of get to see out, but there's this steel screen, in front of you. At night, you know, I can't believe that the reverse isn't true. That this great big picture window with this perforated screen isn't as much a viewing point from the outside as it is a viewing point from the inside on the outside. And so it was, I have to admit, I think I could fix that room, but it really was bad. And I feel somewhat bad about saying it because I like the owner. I hope he isn't listening. But I couldn't see romance in that space. On the reverse side, probably the house I liked the most and that I actually would live in was a 1,500 square foot cottage from the 1920s in an established near downtown neighborhood. I think I did a whole show on how to renovate this type of place. And really, this was renovated. They added 1,100 square feet to it, so I made it a fairly big house. Still felt small and cozy. And I really appreciated that they left the cottage alone. There's a very striking contemporary addition, but it's on the back, and it can't be seen from the street. This beautiful cottage remained, and sitting comfortably with its neighbors. This is one of the problems I have with architects making statements, is that if you're in an established neighborhood, especially of tight lots, I don't believe you should put this jarring, obtrusive box in there and, you know, mess up the neighborhood. When we come back from break, I'll tell you my objection to this house, as well as saying it's the one I like the most and could live in. But when we come back, I'll tell you where it missed.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
It's all about action.
Touchdown!
Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
He's broken loose. He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle, whether it's basketball.
Off the glass.
Football.
Come on. Football.
Golf. Racing. Or the Olympics. We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. Tune in to the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Like I said, I really, in many ways, liked this cottage. And from a plan point of view, everything was done right. They created the kitchen family room area that I talk about. The house has, and this addition has, glorious light. But then they did something not weird. Well, maybe weird. They turned the roof ceiling upside down in the great room addition. It's like, and they did this, you know, it's a real architectural statement and sculptural. But if you can imagine a normal roof where it starts low on the side walls and it rises up to a peak in the middle, you know, the cathedral ceiling. Now imagine taking that roof and flipping it upside down so that instead of the peak being in the middle of the room and at the highest point, that peak, that ridge, is now at the lowest, in the middle of the room, at the lowest point. It's turned upside down and rises up to the two side walls. What this meant was that the side walls could have glorious big windows on them. And it's kind of like turning an umbrella upside down would be another analogy. But, okay, I've talked about beams in the bedroom and beams conceptually in feng shui. Beams divide spaces. Here, in this great room, the beam is crowded down on top of the people. The beam is extremely visible it's very heavy, period. It's a steel beam. And it's psychologically very heavy. Makes for great sculpture. But it's makes for great sculpture. But over time, I don't believe that the owners will really like and feel comfortable in the space. It's split up and dominated by this beam. On one side of the great room, also, you know, on one side, if you can picture it, the roof goes back up to a tall side wall. That wall is shared with the master bedroom. What the inverted roof does to the master bedroom is that that wall becomes very tall and creates an acute angle between the wall and the ceiling. I talk a lot about energy and how in the bedroom you want to focus the energy back on the bed, back on the couple. This tall, acute angle draws the energy, the good energy, up and then traps it in the acute angle. So in some manner or form, you want to avoid that situation. And it's quite common in contemporary homes. Interestingly, the smallest house on this tour at 2,500 square feet, and they talked about these being small homes. To me, the homes are 2,500 to 4,500 square foot. You can do a really nice home and be under 2,000 square feet. But the smallest house on this tour was also, I believe, the most expensive. This was a total, complete sculptural statement. Contemporary sculptural statement. Hard-lined, flat-roofed. The bad part is it's in the neighborhood of very pleasant mid-century cottages in town on small, close lots. And so the houses are on probably 70-foot wide lots and close to each other, close to the street, very comfortable, you know, mid-level neighborhood. This house has sheer black wall to the street, flat and hard, with no windows and no doors. You actually walk around to the side to get to the front door. So in a neighborhood of nice, comfortable cottages, they stuck up a flat black wall to the street. That's a mean-spirited insult to the neighbors. And it doesn't matter, this house probably costs three times as much as any other house in that neighborhood. I think it's a mean insult to the neighbors. Inside, the house is beautiful. If you like cold, modern spaces. It has concrete floors that are at least heated, so they aren't physically cold, but concrete floors, planes of glass, square white walls, and all of the trim accents are in stainless steel. It does have some bamboo wood in there, also in a very straight, flat fashion. And it has an antiseptic, minimalist, white kitchen. If this were a W hotel, I would enjoy it. I could go to a W hotel that looks like this, and I could stay there for a few days and really get into it. But then I'd have to go somewhere where it's warm and comfortable. I couldn't live in this house, and I don't think many people could. It's very pricey, as is such a sculptural statement, and I couldn't live there. It was built for two people, not a couple, but apparently two members of same family. And there's no romance in here. There's nothing soft. There's nothing that allows a couple to come together. In fact, there's nothing that allows anybody to relax. And it's won a couple of awards, of course, from the AIA. It's a beautiful sculptural statement. I could see it being an art gallery. But I can't see it being a house, because it doesn't even nurture the soul of one person. And from the idea of winning the Dream Home race, I am absolutely certain it's going to sell when it does sell at a huge loss to someone who would go in there and figure out ways to make it more comfortable. So those were the contemporary homes on this. And I've just want to mention the one traditional home on there, which was actually a renovation of a 1920s home. And a beautiful job with absolutely beautiful finishes. A huge amount of money spent in upgrading everything to make it just as pricey and expensive as can be. But they completely missed the idea of making nice spaces. They chopped the house up into little boxes, tightly contained areas, instead of opening it up, introducing light and flow and airiness. And it was a real example, and I should probably do a show on this. It was a real example of how you can spend a huge amount of money, make everything as fancy as can be, and still not make it livable. And so next week's show, I don't know what I'm doing next week, but, you know, we can do better. And we can do better. We can make our houses wonderful places to live, as well as being wonderful things to look at. All it takes is a little more thought. And on the client's part, it takes the client saying, make it comfortable. Make me happy to live there. Till next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.